All right. So, we are in a great time. Between, you know, I got to tell you, between Sukkot, we had a great time in Sukkot as a congregation. And between Simchat Torah that's coming up, it's got to be the most joyous time in the calendar. Now, for those who are here for Sukkot, I'm going to be repeating just a little bit. I didn't mean for this to be a part one and a part two message with Sukkot, but it kind of turned into that. So, you know, excuse me as if I repeat a little bit of the exhortation that I gave during Sukkot. But these have to be the most joyous times. Some people say it's Passover. Passover is joyous because of the freedom that it celebrates. And, of course, there's a great meal that goes along with it. Okay. Simchat Torah is a great time. It's a joyous holiday. It's a celebration of his giving of the word. And there's candy. You can't beat that, can you? It indicates the sweetness of his word. Some would say it's Hanukkah, especially the younger folk, because of the presents that are given and the miracles that it reminds us of that Adonai has done through the Maccabees and the oil of the lamps. The high holiday season that we're in really should be building us up in anticipation and excitement in the joy that comes with the season. First Rosh Hashanah with the new year and the promise of new things in Adonai. Then Yom Kippur, which when observed as rabbinic Judaism would observe, it doesn't seem to be that joyful. It's a fast, it's hungry, it's starving. But you know, as believers, it truly is a joyous time because we know that by the blood of Messiah Yeshua, we are saved through it. So we fast not for the worry whether we're going to be in the book of life or not, but we fast so that we can help to bring in, to ask Adonai, to ask the Ruach HaKodesh, save our people, save our Jewish people. For that we rejoice that he's our Savior through Messiah Yeshua and his blood. And then comes Sukkot. It's the time we build the sukkah, or the booth. And it's the time that represents not just a harvest festival in the land, as in the natural, but it's also a harvest of the spiritual, a harvest in the spirit. It's a time when something will happen with the books that are spoken about during Yom Kippur, that book of life and that book of death, but the key is mostly the book of life. So we rejoice in that. It's a time when we not only dwell symbolically in booth, but prophetically. It's a time that we dwell with and in the presence of Adonai. Or putting it in other terms, when we look forward to the time that the new Jerusalem will come down and we will have eternity before Adonai. And now we look forward to Simchat Torah and the continuation of the joy, the building up of the joy in the Lord, a time that we celebrate the giving of the word on Mount Sinai and the giving of the Ruach, as we read about in Acts 2. Both Sukkot and Simchat Torah are celebrated by fellowshipping, sweet desserts, and it reminds us of how sweet the word is and the joy that we have, also looking forward to the time that we'll actually tabernacle or actually dwell with Adonai, not just in the spirit, but in the true physical sense. There's a time we will be before Adonai as long as we run the good race to the end. That's his promise. We observe Sukkot because it's a reminder that he is Adonai, our God, and that we did live in booths coming out of Egypt. and that there will be a fulfillment when we will live eternally in His presence. The joy will be unbelievable. The pains, the hurts, the past will no longer have any hold on us. As it says in Micah 4:6, in that day, it's a declaration of Adonai, I will gather her who is limping, and her who is banished will I collect. Even those whom I have afflicted, I will make her who was limping into a remnant, and her who was banished a mighty nation. Adonai will reign over them of Mount Sinai from that time and forever. It's on that day we will dwell forever with Messiah. And we will not have that limping body that we're carrying around with us now, or the limping spirit even that we have now. It's not going to be our physical body, or we're not going to have this physical body or the emotional baggage that we're carrying around. There will be great joy at that time. Can you imagine? We're joyful now just because we have the promise of it. How much more will it be when we're with Him, when we're in eternity with Him, feeling that joy, celebrating with Him because we actually are with Him? Can you grab hold of that? I've said it a couple of times. We will be with Him. It's not just an abstract thought. It's a reality. We will be with Him. It's no longer just a promise. The promise was made, and we're running the good race, and we look forward to the time we will be taken to Adonai and given the reward that we've been promised. The joy is great now. It'll be even greater. That's why I named it The Joy Is Now. We have great joy now. It's going to be even greater later. Imagine it. The reward you receive is going to be even greater than you can imagine now. And we can imagine something pretty great, can't we? This is the sukkah completed after the time Yeshua comes back the second time and judges the world. For those who run the good race and not give up, the reward really will be that great. I can't hype it more than it's worth. There's no, I could sit here and go, joy, 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 all day, and it still won't be enough to express how great that joy will be. So we have joy now in anticipation of an even greater joy to come. And this is not a feel-good. I said this on Sukkot. This is not just a feel-good, tickle-your-ears kind of message to make you, you know, just warm and fuzzy. This is a truth-filled, Adonai is great and will be greatly praised in the time to come. So get ready now to rejoice message. Because as much as you can imagine now, it will be greater when Sukkot is fulfilled. So today I want to look what joy really is, as opposed to how the world views joy. So we can start with a biblical definition of joy. The biblical definition of joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent upon who Yeshua is, rather than who we are or what is happening around us. Joy comes from the Ruach HaKodesh abiding in God's presence and from hope in His Word. That's the definition of joy. Biblical joy can be confused with things, especially since it's something that doesn't come just in the best of times. Because it's dependent upon who Yeshua is and God's presence in us as the Ruach HaKodesh. Biblical joy is accessible to us even in the worst of times. And it can never be taken away from us. The world, and I believe many believers even, confuse joy with happiness. Pretty much everyone wants happiness. People will do anything and everything that they can do for the purpose of finding happiness. They work hard at buying possessions that they think will make them happy. They look for happiness in entertainment, in hobbies. They look for it in sports, addictions, right? And even other people. They become passionate in following things, thinking that's where joy is. But really, that's happiness. That's not joy. Happiness deals with what is happening around them during the day, every day. That means that happiness depends on our circumstances. Maybe, but I think this might be true. Happiness and happenings sound similar because for many people in the world, the two happen together. Happenings bring happiness for many people. True, but that's not joy. Joy is internal. Since the world is external, it cannot bring real joy. But the Ruach HaKodesh, who is inside of us, who is internal, will bring joy when we allow him to. And that is why the world falls for fake joy. They look towards feelings when looking for joy. But that's not what the Lord wants for us ultimately. Yes, he wants us to be happy. But there is a command to be joyful. There's no commandment to be happy. That's, that depends on what's around us. But there is a command to be joyful. So let's look at some examples of times in Scripture when we're told to be joyful or to rejoice. Psalm 98, starting in verse 6, says this: Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, and sing praises. Sing praises to Adonai with the harp, and the voice of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar blast, a sound before the king, Adonai. Sounds familiar. We sung a lot of this today, right? We sang about shouting for joy with the cymbals and the harp and the voice and our dance. We're commanded. It's not just a suggestion. It doesn't say, hey guys, when you feel like it, be joyful. It's not meant to be a feeling. Because feelings come and they go. Joy of the Lord is eternal. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what's happening inside of you. We read responsibly Psalm 118 on Sukkot, and we were told to rejoice and be glad. Just one line from it, Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that Adonai has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we can say that every day, and especially on Shabbat when we come together. I know I have dragged myself into a Shabbat service and said, I'm just barely hanging on, but I will rejoice. And by the time I don't want to say I fake it until I make it, but by the time we're done praising Adonai with song, my countenance is lifted, and I am rejoicing, just as his word says we should. There is no ambiguity in how to read this. It's just not a suggestion. It's not an, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands kind of word. It's not that statement. This is the day the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and be joyful in it. As believers in Yeshua, there is no reason to think otherwise than to be joyful, even in the worst of times. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, gives us instructions for life in Messiah. And as part of those instructions are these words, 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in 16. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Now we can accept very readily, pray constantly, especially during the bad times. We can press in to pray. We can give thanks. You know, it's sometimes a little bit harder, but we can give thanks. But do we actually believe that we're to rejoice always? If we are to rejoice always, then the question is, how and why? We should know why we rejoice based on Scripture, not feelings. Again, Rav Shaul encourages us in this way in Romans 12. Romans 12:11 says this, do not be lagging in zeal, be fervent in spirit, keep serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Keshavim, extending hospitality. We are told, rejoice in the hope that we have. And we know that the definition of hope is not looking for what is, but knowing what will be because of the promise that Adonai has made. We do not hope for what we see, but what we know is going to be. We hope for the promised salvation. Now, this is not a worried hope that the world thinks of as hope, because we know it will happen. They hope and they, will it happen? I don't know, but I hope so. That's the way the world uses hope. That's not the way we are to see hope. Hope in salvation is assured by the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. It's our down payment of our resurrection. So we know it will happen, and we hope for the day it'll happen, in full knowledge that we know that someday it will happen. Even if we don't know what day that is, we know it's going to happen. Biblical hope is knowing something and waiting in confidence that it's going to happen. It is this very certain hope that brings us joy. Shaul wrote this about hope and joy in Romans 15. Romans 15:13 says, now, may the hope of God fill you with all joy and shalom in trusting, so you may overflow with hope in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Our joy is not happiness of things now known, or the things that we already have, but of knowledge of what will be for all eternity. Yeshua put it this way in John 15, starting in 10. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. It was not that Yeshua was a very happy man. That's not what it's saying. But he does say we should have his joy. That's because He had joy because he knew the salvation he was bringing for us. That's what gave him joy. And there is no such thing as partial joy. When you know salvation, there's no such thing as a partial joy. If you think you only have a partial joy, then it's because you don't have a full understanding of salvation that Yeshua has for you. The lack of joy indicates a lack of faith and belief that Adonai is God who supplied Messiah Yeshua for our salvation. If you feel a lack of joy, then a self-examination is called for. But first you need to separate the difference between happiness and joy so that you can do that exam correctly. Happiness is a feeling, and joy can be a feeling, but it also can be and should be a decision based on the spiritual gift of Adonai. This is why we can be joyful even in the most troubled times we go through. James 1 verses 2 and 3 says this: "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." James says that the trials that we go through are not to remove joy from us, but to actually increase our joy because they produce faith in our salvation by Messiah Yeshua. The stresses of the world can make us feel unhappy, absolutely, but they cannot and we must not allow them to take our joy away from us. This is why we need to put down our anxiousness and our anxieties. As Shaul said in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the shalom of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua." When Shaul says, "Rejoice always in the Lord," I absolutely believe he means rejoice in the Lord, but he also is trying to convey us, know Yeshua always. Rejoice always equals know Yeshua always. By following the instructions that follow in that passage of Philippians, we are following Yeshua's way of following Adonai, which is following Torah. By living out his instructions and trusting in his salvation now, we can know that there is an eternal salvation being stored up for us that no evil can get to. It's in heaven for our end time. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. It is in his great mercy he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, an incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you will have been distressed by various trials." rejoice in the promise of salvation, which is stored up for you in heaven for those who run the good race to the end. Or in other words, never give up in faith of Adonai. He has a planned salvation, and it goes right through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. We need to know that our joy never did originate with ourselves or the world. Even in the telling of when the angels found the shepherd in the field, they were and therefore we are told of the source of true joy. Luke 2:10, starting there. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you, which will be great joy to all the people. A Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who is Messiah the Lord." The source of joy that the angel brought is the good news of Messiah Yeshua, the salvation of the world. It is Adonai who fills us with the joy, which comes from the knowledge of salvation, which is our hope. Our joy now is actually our confidence that our joy in salvation, which will be seen later in eternity. We are to spread that good news and confidence, just as Shaul did. He not only spread it himself, he got others to spread it. Joel, in his letter to the Philippines, says that some are spreading the good news out of good intentions and some out of bad intentions. But he finishes this way in Philippians 1:18, starting there. But what does it matter? Only that in every way, whether in dishonesty or truth, Messiah is being proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will keep rejoicing, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your intercession and the help of the Ruach of Messiah Yeshua. My eager expectation and hope is that in no way will I be put to shame, but that with complete boldness, Messiah will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether through life or through death. The Apostle Paul, Shaul, rejoice, even if he doesn't see yet what the great outcomes that we know are going to be through his works. He had expectations and hope because he did not see the great outcomes yet. But he trusts in Adonai in faith and in joy. This could be seen as him saying that he was happy, but even more so, it should be seen that this joy is the confidence that he has in salvation for himself and others, and that it's being spread, and therefore he's finding strength and joy in the bad situation, because he was doing this while he was in jail. And if you think jails are bad now, nothing compared to what jails were then. I've read that if you cannot feel joy today, steal it from tomorrow. Steal it from eternity. What the writer meant is that our future in heaven will be when we will rejoice forever, and our joy will be exceedingly great while we are standing before him. If we're not able to see the joy now, that as believers we are to borrow that joy, because we know there's going to be an abundance of it later on. Knowing and believing what will happen is a way of taking hold of joy today. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for allowing us the joy of knowing who you are, the joy of knowing in complete confidence the salvation that comes through the blood. The blood in the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, was blood and goats and rams. Your plan never changed. Your plan is still blood. It's just through a perfect sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua now. So we thank you for the blood of Messiah Yeshua. We thank you for the salvation that comes through it. We thank you for your love and mercy in telling us about it. We thank you that you are Lord God Almighty, that there is none like you, that only you can provide that salvation, that only you can provide that steadfast knowledge of who you are. And we thank you for the opportunities of sharing who you are. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us knowledge that you are the three in one. That you are all in all. You are our saving grace and mercy. We praise you and lift you up and thank you, not just on this Shabbat day, but on every day. And everyone says, amen and amen.